Today, we will be reading Matthew chapter 24, verses 1 through 28. Before we begin, let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would speak to us today. Lord, help us to understand what it is that you are saying. Help us to understand how you would have us live to serve you. Lord, we want to hear your voice. We want to see your face. We want to know who you are and who you want us to be. Lord, open our hearts to hear you. Help us to understand your words. Lord, we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew chapter 24, verses 1 through 28. Jesus left the temple and was walking away when his disciples came up to him to call his attention to its buildings. "Do you see all these things?" he asked. "Truly, I tell you, not one stone here will be left on another. Every one will be thrown down." As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. "Tell us," they said, "when will this happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" Jesus answered, "Watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, claiming I am the Messiah, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other, and many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. So, when you see standing in the holy place the abomination that causes desolation, spoken of through the prophet Daniel, let the reader understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let no one on the housetop go down to take anything out of the house. Let no one in the field go back to get their cloak. How dreadful it will be in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. Pray that your flight will not take place in winter or on the Sabbath. For then there will be great distress, unequaled from the beginning of the world until now, and never to be equaled again. If those days had not been cut short, no one would survive. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened. At that time, if anyone says to you, 'Look, here is the Messiah,' or 'There he is,' do not believe it. For false messiahs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I told you ahead of time. So, if anyone tells you, 'There he is out in the wilderness,' do not go out. Or, 'Here he is in the inner rooms,' do not believe it. For as lightning that comes from the east is visible, even in the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Wherever there is a carcass, there the vultures will gather. Okay, in today's reading, Jesus gives his disciples a glimpse of what's going to happen in the future. First, he begins by talking about the destruction of the temple. Now, this has already taken place for us, but for them, it hadn't happened yet. And Jesus said, "There will be a time when this temple will be destroyed. Not even one stone will be left on top of another." And that did happen. It did take place. There was a time when an army invaded Jerusalem, and in the middle of all of this, of the invasion, they burned the temple. Now inside there was gold, and once it burned, they saw the gold melt through the stones, and so they took apart the entire thing, trying to get all of the gold that was inside. And so what he said happened. Not even one stone was left on top of the other as they were trying to get in to get the gold out. And so what Jesus said did take place. But then his disciples come to him and they ask him a question. They say, "What is the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" So let's talk about this for a moment. What are they asking? Well, the Bible teaches that there are two comings for Jesus. There is the first coming, which we are reading about now, when Jesus came to earth about 2,000 years ago. He came, he lived, they eventually arrested him, crucified him, but he rose again. He came back to life, and then he went back to heaven. The Bible teaches that there will be a second coming, that sometime in the future, we don't know when, Jesus will come again. And so here, he is giving information and details about when that will be. Now, we don't know when it will be. It could be today. It could be tomorrow. It could be in another 100 years or another 1,000 years. And it's difficult sometimes to understand that. And we become impatient and say, "Why? Lord, come back. Just come now. Why are you waiting so long?" Well, I think the Jewish people had felt the same way. God had given a promise to Abraham thousands of years before Jesus came. He gave a promise to David long before Jesus came. And yet, they had to wait. And again and again and again, the Jewish people were looking for the Messiah to come. But they had to wait years and years and years, generations. People lived and they thought, maybe the Messiah will come before I die. And then he wouldn't. And their grandchildren will think, maybe the Messiah will come before I die. And then they'd grow old and the Messiah still hadn't come. And there were probably many people who became discouraged and thought, "Oh, he will never come." But in the right time, God did send Jesus the first time, the Messiah, and he is coming again. Now, I don't know when it's going to be. It could be during my lifetime, it could be during yours, or it could be after we die. We don't know. But we are told to watch, to look for him, to long for his coming. We are told to be waiting, to live our lives expectantly, as if this might be the day when Jesus comes back. This might be the day when we see Jesus. I believe that day will come. Now, for each of us, there will be a time when we stand before God. Whether that is when Jesus comes a second time, or when we die and stand before him. And just like we do not know when Jesus will come back, we don't know when we are going to die. Something could happen to me this afternoon as I walk, as I'm walking somewhere, or as I'm driving or riding in a car, and someone could hit me, and I could die. There could be an accident. Anything can happen that we could die at any moment. We need to always, every day, be living as if Jesus could return, as if we might see Jesus that day. Now, there are several things that Jesus gives, talking about the future and talking about what will happen in the end. One of these is that there will be wars. Nation will rise against nation. There will be famines and earthquakes. And this is just the beginning. Many people look around our world now and see this happening even today. But this has been happening for hundreds of years, so we don't know. Now, I, like many people before me, believe that he will probably come back during my lifetime. And I live my life as if maybe he might come tomorrow. Am I doing what he has asked me to do? There are other things, though, that we also see. It talks about that you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death. In the end times, there will be an increased persecution. That means that people will not like Christians. Others will begin to hate Christians more and more and more, arresting them, killing them, trying to silence them. I am fortunate right now to live in a country where Christians are not arrested or killed for their faith. But many people around the world are not that fortunate. They live in a world, in a country, in an environment where being a Christian can lead to death. But they are happy to follow Jesus because he is so much more worthy than of saying, no, it's not safe to follow him, so I'm not going to believe. He is worth anything, even if that's death. And so, Jesus says there will be people that will persecute you, that will kill followers of Jesus. He also warns, be careful. Many false prophets will arise. Many people will say, oh, Jesus has come back. And they will talk about a false Jesus. He's not the real one. And Jesus warns about this. And so, to me, some of this last part of the chapter, as he warns about false teachers, false prophets, false messiahs, what does this mean? How am I supposed to live because of this? Well, I think one thing that we must do is we must learn and study the Bible. We need to know God's word very well. And whenever we hear someone teaching, we need to think, does that connect to the Bible? Is that what the Bible says? Whenever I speak, and I'm teaching and talking right now, I pray and try to very carefully keep what I am saying limited to the Bible, not bringing in outside ideas, or not bringing in saying, oh, well, this person said this, it is different from the Bible, and I think this is true. No. Everything that we learn, we must look. Is this true based on the Bible? Where does this come from? Why is he teaching this? Why does he believe that? Even now, there are many false religions or false teachings that are trying to lead people away from Jesus, trying to lead people away from the real Jesus. Sometimes they might say that they follow Jesus, but when you listen to what they say, it's not what the Bible teaches. When you learn about what they say, off some of these place people have other teachings outside of the Bible. They say, oh, God gave another book, or God gave another prophet who said something different from the Bible, and so we listen to this. But I believe the Bible alone is the Word of God. That is where I get my teaching. It is God's word for me, and it is God's word for you and the entire world. I believe that there is no other revelation from God, and if it goes against what the Bible says, it is a false teaching. So we must learn and study, but most of all, we must pray. Ask God to help you know what is true. There's another verse in the Bible that talks about the Holy Spirit. And when we follow Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes and lives in us, and he teaches us. The Spirit of God guides us in truth. If we are living a life that is led and guided by the Spirit, he will help us know what is true and what is not. So I pray that today you will live in the Spirit, that you will watch for Jesus, and that you will live a life that if he comes, you are ready to meet him. Lord God, it might be today that you come. It might be tomorrow. Help us live our lives watching and waiting for you, ready. I pray that when you come back, you will not find us doing things that we should not be doing. You will not find us asleep and not doing your tasks that you've been given or that you've given us. Lord, guide us. Help us to live a life worthy of you. Help us to watch and wait. Help us to listen and be aware in everything that we learn to compare it to what does the Bible say. Help us to know what is truth. Help us to recognize false teaching and get far from it. Lord, we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.